batting for the Cubs corner, the host, Anthony Pasquale.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cubs Corner. I'm your host, Anthony Pasquale, and as you can see, this looks a little bit different. That's because I'm here on YouTube, also going to be on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, no longer on SoundCloud, and I'm really excited to take this show to the next level. You see in your top right corner there, the Cubs Corner, brand new logo made by Jonathan Kuhn. Shout out to him. Make sure to give him some love on Twitter at JonathanKuhn1. Like I said, my name's Anthony Pasquale on Twitter at @Ant_Pasquale3. So make sure to find me on there. But I missed you, Cub fans, and I've got a lot to get into today. Of course, the Cubs are off. They sit at 26-22 on the season in the NL Central, two games behind the Milwaukee Brewers, who currently lead things in the Central. But what's been happening so far? A lot of good things to get into. We'll start. Cubs season got off a bit of a bumpy start, dropping a series in Texas to the Rangers. Then after that, the Cubs swept the Rockies at home. And since then, it's been kind of up and down so far this season. After sweeping the Rockies to begin April, they took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers at home in Wrigley. Then they went on a daunting 10-game road trip out west and dropped series against the Padres before taking 2 out of 3 from both the Mariners and the Diamondbacks before heading back home. Then the Cubs split with the Miami Marlins in a 4-game set, 2 games apiece, and then swept the Houston Astros. After that, the Cubs went to Boston to take on Fenway and then the New York Mets, and they dropped 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox and split 4 with the New York Mets. Then was their first divisional series of the year, Craig Counsell up against the Milwaukee Brewers at Wrigley, and the Cubs took 2 out of 3 there and then dropped 2 out of 3 to the Padres before heading on their most recent road trip to Pittsburgh and Atlanta, where the Cubs took 2 out of 3 from the Pirates and dropped 2 out of 3 to the Braves, splitting that road trip 3-3. Then the Cubs came home for a 4-game set with the Pirates, and their injury-riddled team ended up losing 3 out of 4. As it stands so far this year, they are 26-22, 2 games back in the NL Central. They have a +8 run differential. They're 14-9 at home and 12-13 on the road. And later this week, they have the Atlanta Braves come into town for another series, the second in as many weeks. But the biggest storyline so far for the Cubs this season, so many injuries. You look at the opening day projected starting rotation of Justin Steele, Jameson Taillon, Kyle Hendricks, Jordan Wicks, and some collection of Javier Assad, Drew Smyly, Hayden Wesneski. Then you throw Shota Imanaga into that mix. 4 out of the 5 original pegged to be starters for the Cubs have faced time on the injury list. Justin Steele, Jameson Taillon, Jordan Wicks, who is currently on the injured list, and Kyle Hendricks, who has been a massive disappointment so far this season. You look at the bullpen, they've been injured too. Adbert Alzolay, Yency Almonte, Keegan Thompson. That's just the beginning of a long list of players who have faced time on the injured list. Daniel Palencia, Colton Brewer, the list goes on and on. Julia Merriweather. Now you go back to the starting lineup. Surely they've been healthy, right? Wrong. Cody Bellinger has spent time on the injured list, as has Seiya Suzuki, as has Dansby Swanson, who is currently on the injured list and due to come off the injured list very soon. Ian Happ has been banged up. Christopher Morel has been banged up. Nico Horner has been banged up. You go back even further, Patrick Wisdom started the season on the injured list. It just continues. The whole team has faced numerous injuries, whether it be arm injuries, leg injuries, oblique injuries, hamstring injuries. The hits keep coming for the Cubs. Now, luckily, none of these players have injuries that are believed to be season-ending injuries. Not even Julian Merriweather, who is currently on the 60-day injured list. Or Dansby Swanson, who was recently on the 10-day injured list. None of them have looked to be too long-term. And it just has tested the Cubs' depth early on and truly made them pull into the minor leagues, grab pitchers, grab hitters, grab anybody that can provide value on the big league level. That's why you've seen players called up like Matt Mervis, Pete Crow Armstrong, Alexander Canario. All three of those guys did not start on the team. you look even further. Some guys that have been sent down for poor play have been brought back up because the Cubs needed help at the big league level. Names like Jose Kwas, Keegan Thompson, those guys, Daniel Palencia, those guys come to mind. Some of them have even faced injuries after that, but they've been sent down, brought back up. Matt Mervis, Miles Mastroboni has spent some time in Iowa and the Cubs. It's been kind of a merry-go-round of mediocrity when it comes to the Cubs' depth this season. A lot of send down to Iowa, send to the injured list, rehab assignments, bring them back to the big league level, and the Cubs just haven't been able to stay very healthy. But the fact of the matter is they've still been winning games. They're 26-22, four games above 500, probably on their worst stretch of games in the season, 4-6 in their last 10, extremely banged up, taking a ton of injuries. But the fact of the matter is they've treaded water pretty well. And as they look to get healthy, you hope a hot streak is coming soon for this team, as Jed Hoyer already kind of peers his eye forward toward the trade deadline and maybe thinks about some moves that could help bolster this bullpen that has been atrocious, has blown almost 10 games already this season. You can't be giving games away like that, especially with how volatile your roster has proven to be with injuries. You want to make sure whenever you get the chance, you secure that win, because as all of you remember, the Cubs missed the playoffs by one game last season, and you don't want to go through that pain again this season. That's something you definitely don't want. You don't want to miss by one or two games. You want to win the NL Central. And the only way that's going to happen is if the Cubs take advantage of the games they can win, especially with how injured they've been. Now, obviously, they could get some help. They could get some health back, and they could start performing like a team that should win this division. But having those 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 more wins that they could have if their bullpen didn't blow things would look a lot better in their record and will definitely look a lot better at the end of the season come September and October. But you can't be too upset, because the Cubs have done a good job treading water, staying near the top of their division, and currently being in place for a wild card berth. It's been frustrating, of course. You obviously don't want to be blowing games, and you obviously want your best players on the field. But the fact is, over the course of 162 games, you're going to lose some guys during to injury, and you're going to lose some games that you probably should have won. For the Cubs, hopefully they get all of that out of the way early and the rest of the season is smooth sailing. Now, I know that's a little overly optimistic and probably glass half full of me, but I'm a lifelong Cubs fan. I've seen a lot of negativity, and I would like to see some smooth sailing over the next couple weeks toward the hot stretch of the summer and down the stretch of the playoff push. But I do think this Cubs team has all the intangibles, has all the talent to win this division and go to the playoffs. The fact of the matter is they just need to stay healthy, and they need their bench pieces that have to come in when there is injuries to perform. And over the last week or so, it hasn't been like that, but over the course of the season, there've been a lot of great performances that need to be highlighted. Ben Brown, one of the Cubs' highly touted prospects, came up after Justin Steele's opening day injury and has performed admirably since. Hayden Wesneski has become a staple in either the starting rotation or in the bullpen since he has been brought up from AAA Iowa, and he has been massively impressive. Pete Crow Armstrong, the Cubs' number one prospect, is up in the big leagues and is proving that he belongs. All of these things are great stories. Not to mention Seiya Suzuki and Cody Bellinger, off to a pretty good start offensively. Christopher Morel, learning a brand new position in third base, seems to be handling it quite well, and his bat is extremely exciting to watch at the plate, and he's also developing a keener eye. And on the mound, the Cubs have also had some great storylines, but nothing has been more exciting or better to watch than Shota Imanaga. He has been outstanding so far this season for Chicago. A perfect record so far, 5-0 with an ERA well below one. I believe it's down at 0.86. Let me check to make sure that that is correct. Shota Imanaga has been outstanding for the Cubs all season long. Signed out of Japan for a relatively team-friendly deal. The ERA is 0.84, by the way. A relatively team-friendly deal, and he has just showed up, become an instant fan favorite, and become a guy that every fifth day, you know he's going to give you a chance to win. Rookie of the Year seems like the bare minimum that the sights should be set on for Shota Imanaga. He is pitching like a Cy Young Award candidate, and he's been a godsend to this team, easily the MVP so far. I'm not sure where they'd be without him. With all these other injuries to the lineup, to your stars, to your depth, to your pitching staff, to the rotation, the bullpen. Shota Imanaga has been the one constant, and he has been outstanding for the Cubs. I believe only four pitchers out of the 24 that have pitched in big league games for the Cubs have been healthy all season long. That's Shota Imanaga, Javier Assad, who also has an ERA below two and is in the top five in baseball. He's been fantastic as a starter. And then Mark Leiter Jr., who has been a godsend for that bullpen. Whenever they need him, he comes out and throws zeros. And Hector Neris, who has transitioned into the closer role now that Adbert Alzolay has had some struggles and now an injury, and he has performed admirably there as well. On the other side of things, the Cubs opening day lineup, there's not many of those guys who have stayed healthy the whole season. Ian Happ and Christopher Morel and Nico Horner have avoided injury list stints, but they've been banged up and had to miss a couple of games. Michael Busch has stayed healthy. He's one that has been healthy all season long for sure. Nick Madrigal as well. Miles Mastroboni healthy, but has been up, been down in Iowa, then back up, then back down. Both catchers, Miguel Amaya and Yan Gomes, have stayed relatively healthy thus far, but that's about it. Cody Bellinger, Seiya Suzuki, Dansby Swanson, Patrick Wisdom have faced times on the injured list. And like we just mentioned, Happ, Morel, Horner have all missed time due to injury, but not been placed on the injury list. So with all these injuries and all these roster moves that keep changing, Shota Imanaga's ace candidacy and Cy Young award candidacy has been so impressive, so fun to follow, and truly just a great story throughout this year. Now we're back here on the Cubs Corner, of course, trying to be more consistent this year, getting episodes out at least every other week, but trying to do every single week. But there's a lot to catch up on. The last one we had was opening day reactions and reacting to the opening week. So it's been a little bit. So before I let you guys go today, I'm going to count down the top 10 moments of the Cubs season so far as we're midway through May. Now, number 10, the Cubs home opener win over the Colorado Rockies. That was Shota Imanaga's major league debut. He was wonderful. The Cubs, behind the great Wrigley faithful crowd, got win number one over the Rockies at home at Wrigley Field, and it's been a place that they've had a lot of success at so far this season. A lot of these other on the list from 10 to 1 are moments from Wrigley Field as well. Number 9, Cubs sweep the Rockies, also at home. That series that was started by Shota Imanaga in Game 1, the Cubs were dominant in Games 1 and 2 and pulled off a comeback victory to win Game 3 9-8 to sweep the Colorado Rockies. Then number 8, Cubs swept the Astros in their first appearance and Wrigley in over 12 years, since back when they were a member of the NL Central. The Cubs swept the Rockies, and then they swept the Astros toward the end of April, including the final game beating Justin Verlander by virtue of Pete Crow Armstrong's first major league hit. We'll get into that just a little bit later. Then number 7, Cubs take the series from the Brewers. The Brewers, a team the Cubs are still chasing in the NL Central. Now they have their old manager and Craig Council. This was an important statement to make that the Cubs are the better team, and they did so in their first series against the Brewers at home in Wrigley late in April. Number 6, the starting rotation scoreless streak. There was a 4 or 5 game stretch that spanned over 30 scoreless innings thrown by Cubs starting pitchers. I believe Javier Assad, Hayden Wesneski, Shota Imanaga, and Justin Steele coming back from injury all contributed to that impressive feat. And it's been a Cubs starting rotation that has protected this team, protected this bullpen. And if they got some more run support, you'd be talking about a lot of these starters nationally. But Shota Imanaga, Javier Assad, Hayden Wesneski, and Ben Brown, when they needed to be, Jameson Taillon, they've all been very strong so far this season. And it's been a godsend for Craig Council and the rest of this Cubs team. Number 5, two replay review walk-offs that both favored the Chicago Cubs. We'll start with the first one, Christopher Morel's walk-off over the Pirates this weekend. Cody Bellinger coming around second, trying to score on a single into center field. Bellinger slid into home and the throw beat him, but the ball was jarred loose and Bellinger was called safe after replay. Then in New York, to walk the game off defensively, Ian Happ caught a ball and threw a relay throw to Nick Madrigal, who fired it home, and the Cubs tagged Pete Alonso, who beat the throw, but when he slid into home plate, he hit the ground first and his foot popped up, leaving just enough room for the tag to be applied and the Cubs to be awarded a thrilling victory at Citi Field. Those both aided by replay combined for number five. Number four, Pete Crow Armstrong's first major league hit, a go-ahead home run against the Houston Astros to propel the Cubs to a 3-1 victory and earn the series sweep over the Houston Astros in Wrigley. This one was also on my birthday, April 25th. Great showing from PCA, who continues to prove that he belongs in the big leagues. Number three, you might think this is a cop-out, but we're going to say the third best moment so far this season has been every single Shota Imanaga start. He has been sensational, fantastic, excellent, elite, every word you want to use to describe him. He's become a fan favorite. He's become a national sensation, somebody you have to tune into to watch every time he pitches. And that's why all of his starts have been great moments for the Cubs so far this season. Still yet to be handed a major league loss. Super impressed with Shota Imanaga, quickly becoming everybody's favorite player and one of the Cubs' best. Number two, Michael Busch. Five home runs in five straight games. Michael Busch, a homer in five consecutive games. He becomes one of the only Cubs to ever do that and the only rookie. The Cubs acquired Busch from the Los Angeles Dodgers via trade, and he's had some pretty massive moments so far this season. Aside from those five consecutive games with a home run that helped the Cubs win some crucial games on that road trip out west, his first home run of the season for the Cubs helped lead them to a victory over the Los Angeles Dodgers on a Friday at Wrigley. And our number one moment was Michael Busch's biggest home run of his career, a walk-off home run over the Padres a few weeks ago at Wrigley. The Cubs had just blown the lead. They were up 1-0. Shota Imanaga went out for his 100th pitches into the eighth inning and allowed a two-run shot. Then in the ninth inning, the Cubs tied it. Or in the eighth inning, excuse me, the Cubs tied it 2-2. And in the bottom of the ninth, I leaned over to a buddy and I said, it's going to be a one-pitch inning. First pitch of the ninth, Michael Busch cracks it into the right center field bleachers. The rain starts to fall from the skies at Wrigley. The lights are shining. Everybody's singing, go Cubs, go. And the Cubs walk it off thanks to Michael Busch. Now, those are what I think have been the best moments so far this season for the Cubs. And I'm sure we'll have a lot more to break down and get into as the season continues. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. This is our first episode on YouTube and on Spotify. As always, you can still find us on the Apple Podcasts and on the Cubs HQ website. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Our 100th episode is next, and we've got some good guests coming up for the future. But for now, thank you all for coming to the Cubs Corner.